on FM, online, and on TuneIn 24/7. This is 88.3 Southern FM,
where you're listening to The Space Show.
Earth below us, drifting, falling, floating, weightless, calling, calling home.
Welcome to episode 6 of our Planet Earth series. Now, these programs are a mix of factual reports, poetry, and fanciful music, all of them about our home planet. This evening we'll be concentrating on the Sentinel-6 satellite that was launched on Sunday. But first, we listen to something that fell off the end of last week's The Space Show. We had been discussing the South American forests, in particular the Amazon and Chilean forest. Former astronaut Story Musgrave, who's been into space 6 times, was going to bring that forest theme to a close. Well, here he is with Amazonia.
Are we ready to go? Okay. Amazonia. Pine cone. Life's longing for life. Wind winding, coning down the ground. Life's love for life. Waves of waving purples and yellows. Singing chimes upon my eyes. Yellow purple symbiotic spectra. Bluebells flowing, the sounds of growing, fragrant fertility flowering my imagination. Vines in vineyards, life clinging to life, canopies of greens painted on a blue canvas. Fallen trees, fertile ground, rotting life, living death. Clouds appearing through the green, disappearing through the green, the power of cumulonimbus, the permanence. Birds and songs, bird songs, life calling to life. Honeysuckle, honeybee, sensuous sucking stingers, sweet sugar of life. Spider's web of life catching life, death preserving life. Woodwinds, leaves talking in the winds, symphonies of green. Kinesthetic kaleidoscopes. Dead leaves, live leaves, death passing into life. Blossoms blooming, seeds sowing, spring springing, mosquitoes skimming, blood to blood, life to life. Fields of flower, waves of color, birds soaring on the solar wind, seeds soaring on the solar soil. My soul soaring to the sun, purple yellows on a canvas green. Bird's nest, woman's womb, green reeds, red reeds, green life, red life. Transformations, translations, translocations. Trans, trans, transit birth, life and death, transit earth, planet, sun, galaxies and universe. Oh, immortal soul, water, muddy water, blood, bloody water, mud and blood in my heart. Fire of sun, fire of ants, fire my soul, heart-shaped leaves fed by vessel vines. Canopies of life fed by floors of death. Sun of life, shades of death, explosions of spring springing to my mind. Spanish mosses motioning, Chinese chimes swinging in my life, rhythms of the universe beating to my soul. The wasp loved dead wood, the wasp eat dead wood. Mud loving tracks, life loving mud.
Former NASA astronaut Story Musgrave. Well, now we turn our attention from the forests to the oceans of our planet Earth. A series of satellites have been measuring sea level since 1993. They have shown that the global sea level is rising linearly at 3.28 millimetres per year. Now, this has amounted to 80 millimetres since 1993. Two further satellites are planned. One of these was launched on Sunday morning, and the second is set for 2025. This is to ensure the continuity of these measurements. Each satellite of the past series measured the global ocean once every 10 days. Because global sea level rise is one of the most sensitive indicators of climate change, as well as the largest impact on society, these satellites form a linchpin of climate change research. Well, let us go to Vandenberg in California, where the new satellite, Sentinel-6 Michael Frelick, was being prepared Sunday morning's launch.
The Pacific Ocean next to Vandenberg Air Force Base, the launch site for an important ocean mission. Here, over the past few weeks, preparations have been made for the launch of Sentinel-6 on a SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket. Because of the COVID-19 pandemic, many of the team are working remotely in Europe, with only a few engineers able to make the final checks on the satellite.
Well, for all of us, the launch campaign is the culmination of many years of work, and to actually see the satellite in its usually most beautiful state, when you've got all the covers off, you've got all the final blankets on, for all of us, it's a wonderful moment, it's emotional, and to see it as you see it here, nicely on the adapter for the launcher, we are really proud and looking forward to the launch.
Equipped with a radar altimeter, Sentinel-6 will make the most accurate measurements yet of sea level. A joint project between Europe and the United States, Sentinel-6 will continue the legacy of almost 30 years of radar altimetry missions, starting with Topex Poseidon in 1992, and continuing through JSON 1, 2 and 3, providing an accurate record of sea surface measurements and proving that mean global sea levels are rising.
We want to continue that record for another 5 years and demonstrate and quantify the sea level rise we have been observing since the 90s, in average about 3.2 millimeters per year, even though the scientists tell us in the last year this has been accelerating, in particular due to the acceleration in melting of ice. So over the last years, it's above 4 millimeters every year we record in the sea level.
Sentinel-6 will map up to 95% of the world's oceans every 10 days, taking continuous measurements of sea surface and wave height, as well as wind speed. The satellite will also provide vital safety information for shipping through marine and meteorological forecasts. It will operate alongside other Sentinel satellites as part of the European Copernicus Earth Observation Programme.
For me, to be part of Earth's observation is special because you really do feel you're doing something that can help the future of mankind.
If all goes to plan, the satellite will soon be in orbit, providing vital data to help us better understand our changing world.
And that courtesy of the European Space Agency. It was 4:17 a.m. here in Melbourne, but a sunny Saturday in Vandenberg when a Falcon 9 roared into the sky.
3, 2, 1, 0. And liftoff of Sentinel-6, Michael Frelick, continuing a legacy of ocean observation and international collaboration to benefit all humanity.
M1D propulsion is nominal.
The Sentinel-6 satellite is part of an ongoing series of sea level measuring satellites.
The Sentinel-6 Michael Frelick satellite is the culmination of decades of international research and development of satellite altimetry designed to measure sea surface height. In the early 90s, NASA and the French Space Agency launched Topex Poseidon, the first in a series of next-generation altimetry missions that includes the JASON satellites. Meanwhile, the European Space Agency created their own successful Earth observation program called Copernicus, which includes the Sentinel series. In an effort to maximize the technology and resources on both sides of the pond, NASA, NOAA, ESA, EUMETSAT, and the European Commission all joined forces to create this satellite, Sentinel-6 Michael Freilich. The name itself is emblematic of a mission greater than the sum of all its parts. The first part of the name, Sentinel-6, is derived from ESA's series of Sentinel satellites. And the Michael Freilich part of the name honors Dr. Michael Freilich, the former director of NASA's Earth Science Division and a tireless advocate for advancing measurements of the ocean in an effort to better understand the planet we all live on.
This is only the second time that NASA has named a spacecraft after a living person.
You may have noticed this satellite was named after Michael Freilich. He led NASA's Earth Science Division for more than a decade.
And he did an outstanding job. Freilich, though, lost his battle with cancer in August of this year. But as you are about to hear, leaders in the space and science community around the world explain why they all agreed to rename this satellite after Michael Freilich.
I was so excited to receive a letter by the European Space Agency and the European Commission proposing that Sentinel-6A should be Sentinel-6 Mike Freilich.
Having a satellite named after you is pretty remarkable. It's not something we do in Earth science very often.
It's not only ESA, it's Europe who wishes to honor Mike Freilich.
Mike Freilich has been instrumental in making Sentinel-6 a satellite that measures with very high precision sea level rise.
The Sentinel missions are something that Mike was very involved in.
It really epitomizes the role that Mike has played over the years as championing partnerships, championing collaborative investigation of the Earth.
Names are reserved for the greats. You don't name after a satellite after somebody who just does their job.
It's the second mission ever named after a person who's alive. It's a huge honor, and I couldn't be more excited.
Through this, we want to pay tribute to a unique cooperation between the U.S. and Europe and a unique personality, Mike Freilich.
Dr. Mike Freilich is a world-renowned ocean scientist who, after a successful career in academia, came to NASA and for a dozen years led all of Earth science.
And he's really brought NASA back on the international stage.
The partnerships that we forge are beyond a business transaction. They are about friendship, and Mike did just that.
Working with our international partners, working with our interagency partners.
And Mike brought that community together in a way that was really unprecedented.
Mike Freilich's legacy is being able to build the coalitions that are necessary for us to get as much understanding of our planet as possible. There is not another person more deserving of this honor than Mike Freilich.
Sadly, Mike Freilich died before the launch of Sentinel-6, so he never saw his namesake go into space. Craig Donlan is a mission scientist on the Sentinel-6 mission. He works for the European Space Agency, and he explains what some of the drivers of sea level are.
That's right. It's not the whole picture at all. Global sea level rise is a major threat to all of our societies, and it's driven really by climate change and global warming. As our Earth is warming, the ice sheets are melting, the glaciers are melting, and the ocean itself is heaving. It's expanding by taking up more and more heat, which is trapped by the atmosphere and the greenhouse effect. And it's the ocean, 93% of the excess heat caused by global warming is taken up by the ocean. And all of these things conspire together to bring a slow but an inexorable change in the sea, in the sea level. And the rise is about 3.2 millimeters per year. And so it's not something that you would reach, as you just mentioned, but it is something that we can detect from space using satellites. And the latest one will be, of course, Michael Freilich.
And this feature explains how Sentinel-6 will measure sea level rise.
Copernicus Sentinel-6 Michael Freilich. Rising sea levels are one of the most threatening consequences of climate change. Since we've been burning coal, oil, and gas to fuel power plants, transport, and modern life, an increasing amount of greenhouse gases has been added to the atmosphere. This has caused heat to be trapped on our planet, and every year our world is getting hotter and hotter. This extra heat is causing glaciers and polar ice caps to melt and the ocean waters to warm up. As land ice melts, it flows into the oceans, making sea levels rise. And as the oceans warm, the seawater expands, also making sea levels rise. For the past 3 decades, scientists have seen an average rise of 3 millimeters every year. This is faster than coral reefs grow. By the end of the century, the sea level is expected to have risen by 1 meter compared to what it is today. This is a serious threat for the many millions of people that live in coastal regions around the world. For example, New York and Shanghai will be at risk, and low-lying countries like the Netherlands will have to spend a lot on sea defense systems. Countries like Bangladesh will face serious problems. This scenario might seem distant, but worryingly, it's very likely to happen within the lifetime of all the children who are born today. That's why governments worldwide have started preparing for the rising water. To take the right action, they first need long-term, reliable data about how fast and by how much seas are rising. Earth observation satellites have provided these figures for decades. The gold standard of sea level data has come from the Topex, Poseidon, and Jason satellites since 1992. They have been key cooperation projects between Europe and the United States. Now, the European Commission, together with ESA, EUMETSAT, NASA, NOAA, and CNES, are launching a new satellite mission as part of the Copernicus program. Sentinel-6 will not only carry on measuring the sea level, but also do it with greater precision than earlier satellites. But is it feasible to measure sea level change from a satellite in orbit high above our heads? Yes, it is. Sentinel-6's main instrument is a radar altimeter. It sends radio waves down to the surface and receives their echo. The shorter this takes, the higher the sea surface. To make the mission even more accurate, the radar is supported by various other instruments that determine the satellite's precise position above Earth. Still, how can a satellite distinguish a few millimeters of sea level rise from the effects of waves and the wind, from currents and tides? In fact, it can't. But scientists can. The satellite overflies the same spot thousands of times, and all the data are averaged to work out exactly how and where seas are rising. What scientists finally obtain is the net increase in ocean level for the world's oceans, as well as inland lakes. These data will be precise down to a millimeter and will continue the record of sea level rise for at least another decade. With these predictions and calculations, public authorities will know where to fortify dikes, harbor buildings, and quays, how to approach coastal defense, and how to relocate settlements along the coast. The data will be used for policy to tackle climate change. Data will also enhance weather forecasting at sea, as well as help forecast cyclones, droughts, and heat waves. These data are important for the whole world. The Copernicus Sentinel-6 mission is a collaborative project between the European Space Agency ESA, the European Commission, EUMETSAT, NASA, and NOAA, caring for the future of our planet by charting the sea level.
And on the space show, we will continue to look at planet Earth after these messages.
Southern FM's 30th anniversary is this month.
Earth below us. Drifting, falling, floating, weightless, calling, calling home.
You may well ask why traditional harbour tide gauges can't be used to measure sea level rise. Craig Donlan, who we've just heard from before, as I said, is the mission scientist for Sentinel-6 at the European Space Agency, and he explains.
Well, if you think about what a tide gauge does, which is on the side of a harbour wall, it's measuring the elevation of the water relative to some datum. And the good tide gauges are referenced back to the global navigation satellite system. The kind of like GPSs that are driving your mobile phone. So you know where you are with the mobile phone. And we know where tide gauges are relative to the land, which itself can be moving by tectonics or by water extraction from the groundwater. But tide gauges are only in a few locations around the world. The really good ones are very, very limited. And so they're also based in coastal zones. So what's going on in the open ocean? We need to know that, because sea level rise is a global phenomenon. Water flows around the entire ocean. So to do that, we use a satellite altimeter. And the altimeter is an instrument that is really just using time, distance, and speed calculations, as we all learned at school. So what we do is we send a radar pulse down to the sea surface. It's reflected back, and we measure the time it takes to do that. And when we reference that time, distance, and speed calculation to a datum, let's say we use the same datum as the GNSS satellites, then we can compute the height of the seawater above that datum, and then reference that back to the tide gauges. And together with the GNSS system, we have a closed system. And that's how we can measure the sea level from space. And because we repeatedly measure the sea level from space along the orbit track of Michael Freilich, then we build up this global picture. And every 10 days, we can compute a mean value. And that mean value then is plotted as a function of time and gives us access to how the sea level is rising. So it's quite a detailed measurement. It's a challenging measurement, but the radar itself is super, super amazing. If we ignored the effect of the atmosphere and ignored the effect of the roughness of the ocean, then the radar can measure to a precision of less than 1 centimeter. When we actually, and that's from the altitude that you talk about, 36 kilometers. If we account for the atmosphere and the roughness of the ocean, each individual measurement is good to around about 3 centimeters. And by averaging over 10 days, we beat the noise down across the global ocean, and we can get a really, really good estimate to within a few tenths of a millimeter, actually. So it's quite astounding.
This jet propulsion laboratory feature explains sea level rise.
Spend a few minutes on any beach and you'll realize just how much the ocean can transform the shoreline. We're here at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory, and we're really excited about this new satellite. It will extend the record of sea level rise another decade past the 30 years we already have, and allow us to see how sea level is not only rising, but how it's accelerating. This has huge consequences for the planet, because sea level rise is one of the most important consequences of human-caused global warming. Sea levels are rising at a faster and faster rate every decade. We need these measurements to help us predict how quickly flooding will increase across the planet. Sentinel-6 will also bring us higher resolution measurements of sea level, which is incredibly important near the coastline, where currents are narrow and changes can be difficult to observe from space. Currents in the ocean tilt the sea surface, making sea level high on one side and low on the other. Also, warm water stands taller than cold, so sea level measurements tell us about both ocean currents and ocean heat. Ocean currents affect our daily lives because the ocean has a strong impact on climate. In the west, the Pacific Ocean strongly determines droughts and rainfall, and in the east, hurricane forecasting uses satellite altimetry to help predict how much hurricanes will intensify. Ocean conditions can change quickly, and forecasters need data in near real time to predict how currents and marine weather will change across the globe. We're excited about the technical capabilities of this new satellite and the prospect of another 10 years of sea level measurements.
Minutes after the launch of Sentinel-6, Parag Vaz was interviewed by Blair Allen about how Sentinel-6 works.
Joining us now is Parag Vaz. He's the NASA project manager for Sentinel-6, and he's going to talk about a few particulars on the spacecraft. But Parag, before you do, I was wondering if you wouldn't mind talking a little bit about the science behind this, altimetry.
Altimetry is a science. It's basically using microwave instruments, using them from space so that we can cover the vast oceans that we have across the whole world. And the whole objective with altimetry and ocean altimetry is to be able to measure those oceans across the world, measure them very precisely, And doing that with a satellite from space allows us to do it completely and most accurately that we can all across the whole world.
So let's look at the instruments. Can you tell me about the primary instrument for Sentinel-6?
Yeah, the primary instrument is the Poseidon radar altimeter. It's built on a simple concept, which is like any other radar, where basically we are producing a radio signal from the instrument. It's being transmitted down to the Earth from space, and we're waiting to actually get the reflected signal off the ocean surface back up to the antenna and receiving that signal. We want to understand how long it took for that signal to get it back here. And then with that, we're able to understand what and measure what the height of the ocean is.
And there's another important instrument on board, the AMRC. Can you talk about that and its purpose?
Yes, you're right. This is the Advanced Microwave Radiometer, a very important instrument for doing this measurement, because the Poseidon altimeter measures the height, but it really matters how well that is measured as that signal passes through the atmosphere. And we need the microwave radiometer to be able to measure differences in that signal as it passes through the atmosphere. This instrument provides us that correction so that together we're able to make a very precise height measurement of the ocean surface.
What are some other important features or instruments that are flying on Sentinel-6?
Yeah, we're lucky because on Sentinel-6 we do have an additional instrument, which is called the radio occultation receiver, that's right here with the antennas that you see here. It's a totally different concept, but similar in some sense, where we're actually trying to measure how radio signals bend through the Earth's atmosphere that we get actually from other satellites. So we use signals from the GPS constellation, which is transmitting a signal, and these antennas will receive it through the atmosphere, help us understand what the atmosphere is like in terms of temperature and humidity.
Well, we're very excited about the spacecraft and obviously the data we're going to get with Sentinel-6. Thanks so much, Parag, for being on the show.
Another fantastic tool on board is Sentinel-6 is the Advanced Microwave Radiometer for Climate, or the AMRC. And the person who led the testing and integration was JPL's Shannon Statham.
In order to be good custodians of our planet, we really need to understand how it's changing. How is it evolving? And here we are at High Bay 2. This is actually a clean room, and each component gets tested on its own, and then we assemble it together. So my team was responsible for assembling, testing, and delivering AMRC for the Sentinel-6 mission. And this is where we built it. AMRC is the Advanced Microwave Radiometer, one of a suite of instruments that work together on Sentinel-6 and give us the very high resolution heights of the oceans. So we are in the antenna range at JPL, and this is where we tested AMRC. We need to know that what we send into space is going to survive. You cannot do this job without being creative. Every mission is unique. We are answering those really interesting and hard questions that we all have about our universe and our planet.
Shannon Statham joins us live now on this exciting day. Boy, what a textbook launch. Welcome, Shannon.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. Now, you work on the Advanced Microwave Radiometer for Climate instrument. Now, what is the exact role of the AMRC?
Yes. So AMRC works in conjunction with the Poseidon radar to get those very precise measurements of our sea level heights. And effectively, AMR is looking at water vapor in the atmosphere, so clouds and rain and snow. And that affects the radar measurement because it basically causes a delay in the signal returning back to the radar. So ocean heights might look a little closer or a little further away due to those effects. So AMRC, we take the data from AMRC and we're able to resolve those effects out of the data and then get those very precise measurements.
I want to ask you, you know, you also do testing, right? Because
yes.
This thing helps with accuracy. but you've got to test it to make sure that it will be accurate. How do you test for mission and launch environments?
Yes. So at JPL, we have a number of facilities that simulate launch and the extreme temperatures and vacuum of space. And so everything that we build is going to go through this test campaign where we certify it for launch and we certify it for its space environment, and not only ensure that it will survive, but that it will perform the way that we need it to throughout the mission.
And the AMRC instrument, Shannon, I know we've talked about this before, it is much more difficult and complex than its predecessors. And so you didn't really have a blueprint on this one. How is it different?
Yes. It well, for every mission, we're going to, you know, push that envelope, try to use the latest technologies, and AMRC is no exception. So we have two new components on AMRC compared to the predecessors, and that is a high-frequency component that enables us to get more precise measurements near coastal lines. In past missions, as we're over the oceans, we see really precise heights, but as we got to the coast, things were a little blurry. So now we're going to be able to get those better measurements near the beach, which people care a lot about, because that's where they live and that's where they have businesses. And we also have an onboard calibration system, and that includes a rotating mirror. So of course, just adding to that complexity. And that was because of some new science requirements on Sentinel 6 to get us even better data throughout the mission.
And folks in Florida certainly care about that, because there are more yes. There are more miles of populated coastline in my home state of Florida than in any other state. Got a question from social media for you.
Okay.
Hank reached us from Facebook, and he wants to know, how accurate is the satellite? What is the smallest area of ocean it can measure the altitude of? And might it have any applications for detecting seismic activity?
Oh, a very interesting question. Yes. So for a single measurement, we can get down to 3 centimeter accuracy. But as we continue to take those measurements, we get global coverage over 10-day period. And then we continue to get the map of the full of our full planet and all the oceans. And so over the span of a year, we get down to millimeter resolution. So that's an order of magnitude better than a single measurement, and how we're able to get those global averages of 3 millimeter height increase per year, which is really, you know, if you think about over the span of a decade, that's a centimeter, and over the span of a century, that's going to be 10 centimeters. So we're definitely seeing the rise, and definitely seeing the sea level impacts.
Real quickly, the seismic activity?
Yes, the seismic activity. So although Sentinel-6 is not going to be trying to detect seismic activity or tsunamis, which often come as a result of that over the oceans, but we have been able to detect them in the past. Previous missions have been able to, but really what we're going to see is any changes in the sea levels as a result of that seismic activity and any tsunamis.
Very helpful. That's all data that is very important to our world.
It is.
Shannon Statham, thank you so much for joining us from JPL.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yep. Thank you, Shannon.
We conclude this week's The Space Show by turning our attention back to Michael Frelich, the scientist after whom this satellite has been named.
Is likely quite atypical. I knew in 10th grade that I wanted to be a nearshore oceanographer. What has driven me is understanding how nature works.
And that's why humanity, not one agency, not one country, not one continent, but why humanity has been monitoring global sea level from space with exquisite accuracy for more than 28 years.
It's a world-renowned ocean scientist who, after a successful career in academia, came to NASA, and for a dozen years, Dr. Mike Frelich led all of Earth science.
And he's really brought NASA back on the international stage.
And this is not all. You also changed the discipline of Earth science in a profound way, combining science and technology to understand our beautiful planet.
Mike Frelich's legacy is being able to build the coalitions that are necessary for us to get as much understanding of our planet as possible. There is not another person more deserving of this honor than Mike Frelich.
I'm very pleased to rename Sentinel 6A in the future to be called Sentinel 6 Michael Frelich.
You know, when I first found out that Mike when I first found out that Mike had cancer, I want him to know that all the work he's done is extremely meaningful.
I am much better because of what I learned from him and because I had the opportunity to work with him.
Mike is a leader to all of us and a mentor and a person who has really advanced earth science for the entire world.
He was absolutely committed to dispassionately following the science.
He had high standards for himself and everyone around him.
Earth system science is bigger than any particular agency. It's bigger than any single nation. It's bigger than any single continent. And I surely hope, because humanity requires it, that we make some significant progress in understanding.
You did good, Dr. Freilich, for all of us. And for that, we're all very grateful.
Ignition. Liftoff of the Falcon 9. Godspeed, Sentinel 6, in memory of Michael Freilich.